I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt, and this is a Studio 2 Extra. He's a Philadelphia native, a basketball legend at Germantown Academy. He traveled for 10 professional seasons across Europe, and tonight our guest, Matt Walsh, will be at the Sixers preseason opener as the owner of the New Zealand Breakers. Now, before he bought that team, he never stepped foot in New Zealand. Now he's growing the brand and the roster into something of a sensation, making a name for himself and producing several new NBA players. Matt Walsh and I talked about his life in the world of international basketball and the exciting challenges that come with chasing a sports dream. You were on the Miami Heat for part of a season. They release you. And then at that point, you've got to make a decision about what you want to do with your life, your basketball career. Take me through that moment and how you ended up deciding, you know what, I'm going to go to Europe. I'm going to go overseas.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, I went to the G League, which at the time was called the D League, and I played for a team called the Arkansas Rimrockers. Mm-hmm. And it was a nightmare. I was living in horrible living. You know, I went from living on South Beach to Little Rock, Arkansas. And I just remember like, man, I can't do this. So I ended up going and training at IMG for the remainder of the season. And then I got signed by the New Jersey Nets it was New Jersey, not Brooklyn. And I ended up getting cut there on the very last day of training camp, just because they had 15 guys on the roster, but I had an awesome preseason. And then I got an opportunity to go play in Greece, and it was first league in Greece. And I remember talking with my agent. I'd never left the United States except to go to Canada to play against the Raptors.
You had never crossed an ocean?
No, I had never. Literally, I went to Toronto to play the Raptors, and that was the only time I had ever left the United States. So I took this job in Larissa, Greece, small team in Greece, first division that had never made the playoffs. And I went, and my first two games were a disaster, like adjusting to the European game. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd just come from playing with Vince Carter and Jason Kidd, and looking at these guys, being like, man, like, you know, I'm a much better player than these guys. But the first two games were an adjustment. And then it just kind of clicked. And, you know, I began to embrace the lifestyle. And, you know, I ended up being so fortunate. I got to live all over the world and play with and meet these incredible people. So that was kind of, you know, how I ended up in Europe.
I tabulate 14 different teams across 10 countries over the course of basically a decade. And when I step back and think about that, I'm pulled in two directions. I think that's kind of romantic, traveling around the world, getting paid to play basketball. And then the other half of me says, that sounds isolating and exhausting.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it, to be honest. You know, I've never put it in those terms, but look, it was very hard. Like, when I left the NBA, I believed I was an NBA player. And the first 2 years, I was miserable to be around. You know, and I think part of it is like my competitive nature. What drives me is what made me a really good player. Like, the same reason why I was not fun to be around is, I think, the same reason why my competitive fire led me to be as good as I was. But I just, you know, I believed the whole time, like, why am I here? I should be in the NBA. How do I get back? Mm-hmm. And then after those first 2 years, I realized, like, all right, this is my life. And how dumb are you if you're going to spend your whole, this amazing opportunity to travel the world and meet these people, if you're going to spend all of it wishing you were somewhere else. Mm. And I just began to embrace it. And from then on, it was like, all right, the season's over. Where am I going next? And after that, it totally changed. And first half of my career, I was by myself, feeling isolated and sometimes sad and missing home, but also an amazing opportunity to develop friendships, to see the world. And then second half of my career, I met my wife, and then we had a son, and then another daughter. And, you know, that was just totally amazing. Like, when I think back of my son's first school, he went to school in Bologna, Italy, and learned Italian. Mm. And, you know, he went to an international school in Turkey, which was just absolutely amazing. So it really shaped the rest of my life. And it gave me this perspective that I think is pretty unique, because I think a lot of people walk around thinking, and look, I'm so proud to be an American, and I think it is the best country in the world. But I think I have a little bit different perspective because I've lived in these cultures and I've embraced these cultures and I've had the chance to like really live it. I've done like the traditional Easter in Greece in a small village with, you know, amazing teammates. And, you know, I got to go to the Blue Mosque in Turkey. And at this point in my life, I'm so grateful. And a lot of times people will say, oh, do you regret leaving Florida early? Do you wish this? And, you know, I finally at a point in my life, I think, where I'm so at peace with how my career went. And I wouldn't change anything because it led me to this. It led me to owning the Breakers. It led me to having this amazing family. So I think I spent the first few years of my life or my basketball career feeling a bit sorry for myself. And now I look back with the utmost gratitude that I got a chance to go on this journey because it certainly shaped who I am.
Yeah, it's amazing to think when you started your international career, you'd never crossed an ocean. And by the end of it, you're like this international man traveling with your family from country to country. That has to be a totally transformative experience.
Well, yeah, you know, when I speak to young kids and, you know, I get the opportunity, the biggest thing I say is that my one true regret is I was always worrying about what's next. I was worrying about the next job. And it's kind of the nature of being a professional athlete, being in my position. You sign 1-year deals for the most part. But I was always worried, okay, what do I need to do to get the next job, to play on a bigger EuroLeague team, to get back to the NBA? In the first half of my career, that's what I spent so much energy on. It's like, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? And what my message to young kids is you have to enjoy the journey. Like the journey is the best part and the relationships you build. Like I look back on my career, and the thing I'm most grateful for is I've got friends in Serbia and Turkey and France and Italy and everywhere I go across the world, you know, I've got these amazing relationships. So I really am grateful for that.
So I think about 7 years ago, right? You purchased this team, the New Zealand Breakers. They're based in Auckland, New Zealand. Had you ever been to Auckland? You knew anything about Auckland?
No, I had never gone like whatever it is, Southwest. I'd always gone to Europe and, I bought the team February 28th with no plans on living there. It was just going to be get a really good executive staff. And I was going back and forth a few times. And I quickly realized that if I was going to turn the franchise and the business into what I really believed it could be, I had to live there. Mm. Now, the complication was that my wife was
your
pregnant
family.
With our third. Yeah. My wife was pregnant with our third. And I remember I went home, you know, after going a few times end of April. And I said, you know, Jess, if we're going to do this, we've got to move there. And I would have never asked my wife and family to move there if I didn't think New Zealand was going to be an incredible home for us. And we moved in July. My wife was 7.5 months pregnant. And we got settled in New Zealand and we lived there for 4 years, some of the best times of our entire life. But ultimately, we've moved back because during COVID, the New Zealand Breakers had to relocate to Australia for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have home games for 2 years. I believe we're the only international or any sports property in the world that actually had to relocate for that amount of time. And when we did, the second year, me and my son went with the team to kind of get them settled in Melbourne. And the day before we were supposed to fly back, they shut the borders between the two countries. Oh, so man. Me and my son were separated from my wife and two daughters for 4 months. We missed Thanksgiving. We missed Christmas. And finally, I said to my wife, look, I think this is, you know, it's totally unsustainable. We've got to move back to the States. So in 2022, we moved to Austin, Texas. And we've been there ever since.
I got to imagine if you went back and told Matt Walsh in 2005, member of the Miami Heat, that he would own a team in New Zealand someday, he would be like, get out of here. Like, what are you talking about?
I mean, I would have said, what's New Zealand? I said, what, you know, what's New Zealand? Do they play basketball?
Right.
And I would have said what people told me when I bought the team. And that's, you're effing crazy. And I think that this part of me was born from my parents and my dad and their unwavering belief in the people I've had in my life. But I've always believed if you really believe in something, you just go for it. And I truly believed in it and I had conviction with it. And I think that the people around me believed in me and I was able to go for it. But it certainly was a big risk. You know, at the time I had earned a lot of money playing basketball and my other investments. And I put a huge portion of my net worth in this with the belief that it was going to turn into what it has now. And, you know, sometimes in life risks pay off and sometimes they don't. But this one's certainly been one that when it's paid off.
You talk about the Breakers as this global brand. It's like 8,500 miles from here, Philadelphia. How do you sort of bridge that gap, that very real distance gap, to get people all over the world to pay attention to a basketball team in New Zealand? It's not in their time zone. Probably like you, people have never been to New Zealand. How do you get people to see your club as something that they just have to pay attention to?
I don't expect the average guy walking down the street to know the Breakers. But if you're a basketball fan, if you're an NBA fan, the reality is now you know who we are because we've had so many players drafted. We play these NBA preseason games. And that's a big part of it. You know, honestly, if you can go out and get talents like Usman Jang, who was a lottery pick, RJ Hampton, Kareem Lopez, then, we are front and center in the basketball world. And, getting a chance to play tonight against Joel Embiid and Paul George, that's a big part of it. And as the league continues to grow, I mean, this last year, there was four players from the NBL drafted, including Sar, who was the second pick. So, we've definitely been the leaders in terms of the NBL with the most next stars and, kind of growing into a global brand. But the rest of the NBL has followed suit. And I mentioned it earlier, it used to be a league where I was the first foreign owner. And, now half of the teams are owned by global consortiums and serious sports owners. So the league continues to grow. It doesn't hurt that the talent level of Australians and Kiwis is really growing. I mean, there's more Australians now in the NBA than ever. We just try and, play our part in growing the league and growing the NBL.
Philly native Matt Walsh is the owner of the New Zealand Breakers, taking on the 76ers in tonight's preseason opener. Our program is produced by Paige Murray Bessler, Debbie Builder, and Andreas Copes. Al Banks is our engineer from Studio 2 at WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Avi Wolfman-Aaron. Thanks for joining me.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.